Good morning. It is 7:39 with Collins and Mack back from the weekend. All kinds of stuff happening around the world, and I don't know where he is on the face of the planet, but Randy Neugebauer is on the line with us. Good morning, Congressman. How are you today?
Good morning, Tom, Laura. How are you all this morning?
Great.
Pretty good. Are you on the Hill or are you in Lubbock?
No, I'm in Lubbock. I'm about to get in a car here shortly and head to Abilene, Texas for the opening chapel ceremony at Abilene Christian University.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Wave to my son while you're there. That's where he is.
Yeah. Is that right? And then meeting with some hospital executives at lunch, and then going out to Dyess Air Force Base to meet a couple of the new commanders out there. So it's a busy day.
Yeah. Hey, I saw you yesterday morning, actually, stumping your toe on the sidewalk over at First B coming out of church. I was picking my mom up over there.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a lot going on with Syria and Egypt and whatnot, but here at home, before we get started, Nadal Hassan, the shooter at Fort Hood, is opted out of his closing, and he's going to be sentenced today. What are you thinking about that?
Well, it's very interesting. There's a lot of different opinions on whether you give him the death penalty or do you give him life imprisonment. I read an interesting article over the weekend where I think one of the victim's family members said, he deserves, to the same fate that he imposed on their loved ones. But at the same time, there's this, do we make him a martyr? And I just don't know what the right thing. I lean towards the death penalty, but I think probably in this case I would yield more to the victims' families of what they want to come of this.
Right. Hey, on the subject of Syria, a lot of discourse over the weekend. We know that we have pretty much confirmed that there are chemical weapons being used by the Assad regime, and previously, President Obama had said that this would be the red line. If you see a lot of chemical weapons moving around or use of chemical weapons, now that we know and we're pretty much positive that they have been in use, where do we go from here? Because when you throw the glove down and somebody steps across the line, you gotta pick it up.
Yeah, and actually, this is not the first time we think he's used chemical weapons. We think he used them a year ago, and the administration, didn't take any action. This problem, Syria is a mess. This is a country in civil war, and obviously, Assad used these chemical weapons. And I don't know what the right thing to do is. I mean, I think the one of the things we need is some support over there, for example, from the Arab League and some of our NATO partners, because we don't need this to be unilaterally. The United States all of a sudden decided to jump into this fight. So I'm sure that hopefully the president is trying to build some kind of consensus for whatever actions that he's anticipating here.
Hey, Randy, HR is on the line. He has a call for you regarding Syria. HR, you're on.
Man, thank you for taking my call so quickly. I've been talking about this weekend, and my wife looking at me crazy. The Bush administration talked about chemical weapons being in Iraq, and they threw the UN inspectors out. And that's when General Colin Powell was in there. My question is even then I was saying that, because there was a time that they did not allow those inspectors inside of Iraq to do their inspection. My thing is are these weapons that are showing up now that came from Iraq? Because, like I said, they wouldn't let those inspectors in, and then they let them in. Could these be the same weapons? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thanks, HR.
Thanks. Well, that's a very good question. And what we do know is Iran and other bad actors over in that area have been supplying, a number of these initiatives. And so these weapons certainly could have come from other places. And I think one of the things that we're concerned about and always have been concerned about is when these kind of weapons are in the hands of bad actors, these very bad things can happen. And the question then is what is the role of the U.S. In these situations? And, that's a difficult question.
That is a legitimate point, though. Randy Neugebauer, on Monday, first day of school. We'll be back in just a moment, 7:45. 7:49, good morning, Tim. 69 degrees, Collins, Mack, and Nagebauer. That sounds okay. Welcome back to the program, Congressman. How are you this morning?
I am very good, thank you.
Good. Hey, real quick, we're going to get to Egypt in just a second, but we're going to take one more call on Syria. Daryl, you're on.
Yes, I would just like to throw in the question as to how confident are we that this is the Syrian regime as opposed to these rebels that we really don't know enough about to support?
Well, that's a very good question, and I think it's one that, you know, when the UN inspectors were over there, I noticed that their charge this morning was to determine whether, you know, chemical weapons were used, but not necessarily to determine who used them. And, you know, and obviously this Assad regime this morning is claiming that the rebels did that to, you know, kind of stoke the fire to get the U.S. involved in this engagement. I think what we're going to have to do is rely on our intel community to determine, you know, what they know on the ground in that country and make sure that we have a clear determination of who used it and how it was used and what was used.
Thanks for your comment. I had the same concerns that we don't really know who to support there because we really need to be concerned about who ends up in charge. And we're not happy with Assad, but we're certainly not confident that we're going to get anything better.
Well, there's always another maniac out there, and you want to make sure that...
Take one out and somebody takes his place.
Yeah, what do you do? What do you do?
Hey, we don't have a really good track record of picking these winners and losers here lately, and you know, I think Egypt is a classic example there. We're trying to, you know, export democracy to that country. They had a election, a new regime was elected, and people didn't like that regime. We didn't necessarily like that regime, and now we've got the military, you know, taking back control of that country. I think what it points out is that this Middle East situation is really a...
Hey, Daryl, thanks for your call. I appreciate that. Randy, we're going to talk about your march in the Martin Luther King Walk coming up a little bit later on this week when we come back at 7:51. Good morning. Good morning. It is 7:55 coming up on the 8 o'clock hour. Randy Nagebauer on the line with Tom Collins and Laura Mack. Welcome back to the program. Historically, Randy, the United States government does not take the side of the coup that is against a democratically elected leadership. We're kind of in a tight spot here.
We are in a tight spot because we disagreed with the democratically elected government, and so did the people. I mean, there was a number of, you know, uprisings in that country, and that over the years in Egypt, the military, unfortunately, has been somewhat of a stabilizing influence in that region. But, you know, this was a democratically elected leadership, and so that's the reason you see this administration, a little bit in a tight spot, as you said.
Yeah, it's not one of those scenarios that's really easy to traverse, even if you're being, you know, definite. One of the things that I don't understand why our administration doesn't just say this is a coup. They won't say this is a coup. If it ain't, what is it? That's what
I think you're exactly right. That is what it is, and and I think that's, again, I think just the whole area is so unstable right now, and I mean, it's really a powder keg, and what I get afraid of is that this is going to spill over into Jordan, another somewhat stabilizing influence over in that region. I think, you know, with all of the people migrating into Jordan and fleeing these other countries, it's a problem.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Coming back here at home, I think it's Wednesday, we have our march to the city for MLK and MLK's remembrance.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite people in history.
Yeah. Now, you are actually going to be involved in this, right?
I am, and I'm looking forward to that. I think we're going to meet at Estacada High School at 6:30, and then the march begins there, and then we conclude, I think, at 4th Street, where there'll be some speeches by local leaders in the community, and, celebrating a very remarkable man and a very remarkable event in the history of our country.
50th anniversary of King's speech, right?
Absolutely.
The I Have a Dream speech.
a great speech. Every year on MLK's birthday, I listen to that speech, the audio version of it, because you can read that speech, but to hear that speech to really kind of listen to the words. And you know, Dr. King was a uniter, and he wasn't trying to divide our country. He was trying to bring our country together at a time where there were a lot of people who would have rather him being divisive about that. His message was more inclusive, and I think it's a very important speech.
I think peaceful and non-divisive are two very key operative words relative to Dr. Martin Luther King, as evidenced by his daughter, which speaks on a regular basis. But that's kind of interesting, because you have a guy that way back, I think, was it 63 that he did that?
Yes. That's right.
And he was Time Magazine's Man of the Year in 1963. And his daughter speaks on a regular basis and speaks out. And rather than perceiving her as a legacy, a lot of times people from the black community chastise her and separate her from their community. And I don't understand that, because I think she's right on, man. You know, she is inclusive for all. And I just think sometimes people, if you don't take a side, then you're beating a drum for the other side.
Well, and come out and support the walk this Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday evening at 6:30, starting at Estacado High School. Everybody's invited.
Mr. Nagebauer, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you, and y'all have a great week.
You too.